Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host of the Journey Radio Show. And I'm welcoming back Clayton Crawford as my guest co-host tonight. Hi, Clayton.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you. We've brought Clayton back because last week we started a show about empaths. And we didn't get to finish, so we're going to do Empaths Part 2. So here we are for Empaths Part 2. Okay. So we have gotten together some questions from other people about what they wanted to know about empaths. So Clayton, one of the things that people were asking about is the dark side. The dark side of empaths.
Yes, I got several people over the last few weeks asking about the dark side of empaths. The dark side of empaths is, it's not, I don't want to say it's all dark, but it can be used with negative intentions, ill intentions, if you will. Intention is, let's cover intention first. Intention is the intent someone puts behind something, whether consciously or subconsciously. We can subconsciously do things that we don't realize, you know, could be harming someone or something else and not mean to do it. But when you get to the point to where when someone is consciously doing something that is intentionally harming or trying to control or influence someone else, then that, you know, that's getting over to the darker side of an empath. And some empaths have learned that they can actually, that we can, any of us can control and influence and alter other people's around us, their emotions. We can make them feel what we want them to feel, you know.
Just to interrupt you for a moment, Clayton, just to make sure that all of our listeners know that empaths are people who can feel and sense what other people are feeling, and that could be emotionally, physically, many different things. And so we're talking about going beyond that and developing into a place where they can make other people feel what you feel, what you want them to feel.
Right.
That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
Okay, good. So take us further into that dark hole there, Clayton. We want to hear about that dark side.
Okay. So the dark side of empaths, and not all empaths know that they can do this. You know, not all empaths have honed their gift. I think it takes to get in a certain level of honing and control over your gifts to get to a point to be able to do that. But basically, an empath can manipulate, alter, change the people around them, their emotions. We can make them feel what we want to feel, what we want them to feel. And this could be, you know, in a positive way, it could be in a negative way, it could be in a sad way, an angry way, I don't know if this is the proper word to use on air, but like a desire or a sensual or sexual way, you know, a dramatic way, just depends on whatever the intention that the empath has put out and put behind it. You know, I personally disagree with that whole method. You know, I disagree with doing anything to with any ill intentions to others, whether it be, you know, making them sad or desire or anything like that, or angry. That is crossing a line for me, you know. And you know, people can say they don't believe in karma or whatever. It doesn't matter what you believe in. It's very real. And whatever you put out does come back.
Awesome.
And so I think
sometimes they could be,
you know, sorry to interrupt you. Jen and I have talked about this, you know. A lot of us empaths do it and we don't realize we're doing it, and we're not doing it in a harmful way. There's no ill intentions behind it, but we can walk into a crowd of people and all of a sudden their energy changes. They can be all happy, and you know, we could walk into a gas station, like Jen has pointed out that her boyfriend pointed this out to her, you know, that she can go in a gas station and the people, you know, that they're waiting on people while she's getting her drink at the back of the store, and you know, the cashier is all like mopey and just like, hello, you know, and just don't really want to be there. And then Jen comes up and they're like, oh, hi, you know, and they're all bubbly, and you know, and that's just our energy. If our energy is at that happy level, we can do that, and we're not doing that with, it's not anything harmful, you know, we just kind of emit that, and it can alter people's energy. But you can use that. Empaths can use that to their advantage in ways that can be negative and harmful, and that is where I totally disagree with.
So you're saying we shouldn't use that to get extra sides of cheesecake?
No, we should not.
I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but I am pointing a finger right now.
I know who you're talking about.
I know somebody who did that. And anybody in the chat room can see someone reacting in a defensive way. Oh, we're just giving her a hard time.
Totally.
So somebody in the chat room who will remain nameless actually used this to get it. Asked for this is a funny story. We went to a restaurant and we were hungry and it was late, and we're like ordering steak, and she said, instead of having green beans as a side, could we just get cheesecake? And the waitress brought us green beans and two pieces of cheesecake each and didn't even charge us for that. It was hilarious. So just had to poke a little fun. So I'm sorry, go ahead. I had to play for a little bit.
You know, I mean,
that's not so dark as long as there's cheesecake.
No, that's not dark. Anything with cheesecake isn't dark or harmful. I mean, probably right? it's probably not the most healthiest for the human body, but it's really, really good. But
right
yeah.
Again, I mean, the point is, being an empath can be fun.
Yes, it can, but it can also be hard. You know, when we get into when we like really connect with a person and we really start feeling their physical pain, and when people are in immense physical pain, it can be overwhelming. You know, and I don't think a lot of people really understand that unless they are an empath. For me, the gift of of being empathic is the hardest gift to manage. You know, dealing with the emotions, which I don't do well with emotions anyway, and feeling other people's emotions and physical pains. I can deal with pain, physical pain. But for me, it's harder, like the emotions, the sadness, the depression, you know, any of those lower vibration emotions, I do not do well with. But a lot of empaths really have a really hard time with the physical pain. They think they absorb all this physical pain, which they do absorb it because they have that in their mindset that they do. I personally shield from that, so I don't absorb the pain as much as others, and I'm blocked off a lot. I do block my empathic abilities as much as I possibly can, which a lot of empaths don't agree with that, but you know, I struggle with the empathic side. Some empaths have no clue how to block or can't block it out even if they try, you know, and they wish they could. It's just something that I think I've been able to do for quite a while, even as a child. I think that's where it started as a child. You know, so I don't feel it as immensely as some others. And I have had people keep telling me that, oh, you're going to, it's going to, that dam's going to rip open, you know, soon. And oh, great. You know, I'm not ready for that at all. But if it happens, it happens.
Now, Clayton, we talked about it last week. You should embrace it and let yourself develop as an empath, because then you can truly develop that control of it. It's not as bad as you think it'll be. As a matter of fact, you know me, I can coach you through it.
Yeah, you know, it's not the feeling other people's pain physically and all that. It's the emotions for me. Like, I do not like emotions. Like, I don't like, I'm not used to vulnerability of any kind. I am totally the warrior spirit. You know, I mean, I can do exorcisms and fight demons and deal with dark magic all day, every day. But when it comes to the yucky emotional stuff, I am not good with it.
Well, and that's okay, because I think that's something that men often encounter. They're not as comfortable with that emotional aspect of being an empath. And women, just, we're much more comfortable in that place. We're much more comfortable with feeling the emotions. And for myself, you know, even though sadness feels like sadness, whether it's mine or somebody else's, it doesn't feel any different. If it's a stomach ache, if Jenna feels nauseous, I feel nauseous. Okay, it doesn't feel any different. I'm sick, she's sick. We're if we're together for too long, it's hard to block her out. So, you know, sometimes she'll take a nausea pill and then hand me one too, because we're both feeling it. But that's just really pretty extreme. But that's when we've been together for 4 days solid.
Yeah.
But when you can identify that this is not yours, like, does it make sense for me to feel this way right now? Is this mine? You can make it shut off for a moment to give you an answer. Nope, this isn't yours. It's somebody else's. And then you can even pinpoint whose it is. And so standing in a restaurant where I'm standing in line to order something and there's tons of people in there, I can have a physical sensation and say, all right, this isn't mine. And it's an intuitive feeling. You just know this is not mine. And literally, okay, whose is it? And I can pinpoint whose it is in that room of people that I don't even know. So, I mean, it can get to the point where you can make sense of it, where it's actually directing you somewhere. Right?
Yes.
And then you can control it by making, I always say, okay, thank you, goodbye. And it goes away.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to bring up, Jen, is, you know, a lot of people, they use their guides, their spirit guides, spiritual guides. You know, I'm not sure if everyone is familiar what a spiritual guide is, but it's basically spirits that are appointed to be your guides to help you throughout your life. You know, a lot of people work with them, a lot of people call on them. I'm not saying that I don't work with them, but I rely on my higher self more than I do any spiritual guide or any angel or any god or goddess or deity or any outside external force. I believe in my own power. So if I tell myself that I do not want to feel this anymore, I tell my higher self, I'm done with this, I'm over this, I don't want to feel this anymore. And for the most part, most of the time, it will either go away completely or lessen tremendously. You know, but not always. Sometimes I think you're just supposed to feel it and deal with it. It's just a lesson for you to learn. But, you know, and that also works in all areas of your life. Like, say you astral travel a lot in your sleep. Well, if you astral travel a lot in your sleep every night, you're going to be tired. You're going to wake up tired because, excuse me, you're traveling all over, you know, the universe. Your soul's traveling all these places. And you know, you're gonna wake up tired because you're not sleeping peacefully. You have to tell your higher self or your spiritual guides, hey, look, this has got to stop. We gotta cool this out for a little bit. I need to rest and I need to rest peacefully, you know? And it will stop. I've just had, you know, this happen with a friend of mine or a friend of a friend who asked in a group, you know, how do I, you know, I'm always traveling. I'm always, you know, and I told her, just tell your higher self to stop. Another friend of mine told her, tell your guides. Both methods work either way, you know. And it's the same with picking up other people's feelings and emotions. Like, you can block it. And empaths need to learn how to shield. That is 101 survival guide for empaths. You have to learn how to ground and shield and release. Period. You got to learn. There's not one method. There's many, many methods, and you got to figure out which works for you.
I got to tell you, I don't shield.
You don't shield.
I do not. Not as an empath. I'm purely open. The only time I shield is when I'm going into a big shopping center at Christmas shopping time and it's full of people. And I'm really? Like, yeah, but I'm pretty open. I've got a lot of control over it as long as I'm not super tired. So I'm picking up on things that I'm supposed to pick up on. We have an agreement with my spirit guides that I'm picking up on what I'm supposed to pick up on.
Yeah,
and that's like guiding me.
That's interesting because I shield every single day and I do a very advanced multiple layer shields. I do a shield for each layer of the aura. I do a shield over every chakra, every main chakra I do a shield over the 9 main chakras, not just the 7. I also do shields over my hand chakras. And my feet chakras, I mirror each shield, and on the outside I put a layer of pink for love to transmute any negative energy that is thrown at me. But I have multiple different shielding techniques, but that's just the basics. And I always put myself in a diamond shell because even in the spiritual side of life, nothing breaks diamond.
Okay, I like this. This is good. I'm more of a bubble girl myself. I live in a bubble. and the bubble is my energy field that I can't even touch and reach the edge of it. And so I fill my energy field with energy. And so I saturate myself and then I saturate my bubble and then my bubble is always saturated, so that's my shield. But because the shield is of that positive light energy, I can still sense without me having to be affected by it. I can feel things, what's going on around me, because that's how I know what's happening. You know, that's how I sense what's going on. You know, I see Audrey in the chat rooms talking about how she shields mostly during, really hard during investigations, like paranormal investigations. I don't shield during paranormal investigations. I'm open to feeling the spirits there because I'm trying to communicate with them.
But here's the thing, okay? This is one thing that I need, a point that I need to make. You cannot shield so tightly that energy isn't flowing in and out, that air isn't flowing in and out, that you can't, because you will end up with stale energy and trapped in your shields, or even negative energy that's coming from your own self trapped in your shields, and then you're harming yourself. Your shields have to be able to breathe. It can't be completely shut down and completely shielded off, because you can't pick up everything you need to pick up psychically, empathically. There has to be a certain level of openness. But when it comes to a danger situation, you shut them down, and you shut them down hard, and you shield hardcore, and you're good. And when you're over that, you open those vents, so to speak, so the energy is flowing in and out. You know, there's nothing trapped. There's nothing stagnant.
Very good point. Very good point, Clayton. Thank you for touching on that one. Thank you for touching on that one.
Yeah, people don't realize that, and they shield too hard. I mean, I know so many people that shield so hard, and I shield hard, and a lot of people are like, wow, like, you really got a major shielding technique down. I was like, yeah, I have multiple ones, but you can't shield yourself so much that you're shutting yourself off completely, because you're going to end up harming yourself, and people don't realize that, and I try to express that. Actually, my friend Lisa taught me this, who is a very dear friend of mine. She taught me that, and she taught me that you shield very, very good. I was going to use another word, but we are on air. You shield very, very well, but you shield too well. You're too closed off. You're too shut. And she taught me how to open those, like, vents in the shield, so to speak. So there's an energy flow. There's an air flow, you know, going, you know, to and from, and nothing is trapped, and that's very important.
Yes, that makes sense to me, too. That's very good. I'm glad you're not shielding too hard. Too hard. So when I say that I don't shield, that doesn't mean I'm not protected from harmful spirits when we do, like, into a paranormal location. But I will say that I'm the one who goes in when other people are running out. Okay, right. So when somebody was attacked physically at a location that we were at, and he yelled for help, I went in there, and I literally chased the spirit off of him. He couldn't move. Big guy, stuck, couldn't move. It felt like it felt like the gravity had increased, and it was this really low vibration. I could hear it, and I guess nobody else could hear it, but it was like, vroom, and really low sounding. And it was a really heavy vibration. Literally, I could feel everything vibrating, and it was really an uncomfortable feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I just pushed a bunch of really light energy into him. And that pushed it off of him, and then I reached for it because I could see it lighting up the one machine really red on the K2 meter, which means it was really angry. And I reached, didn't even think about this in advance, I reached for the spirit that was angry. I was going to do the same thing to the spirit, and it backed up. Backed up far enough so it hit the K2 meter of the next person who was standing a few feet away and lit up theirs, but backed up from us. And so I reached for it over there, and it backed away again. So it was running away from me.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
They will when your vibrations are so high that they can't take it. It's literally painful for them if they're so negative and it's just too much for them. You know, when it comes to a negative spirit, a lot of times I will open my heart chakra, which a lot of people, it freaks them out that I would do this around a negative spirit, but I will open my heart chakra. and I will open my hand chakras, and I will make them vibrate almost like a singing bowl, a Tibetan singing bowl. And the vibrations are so high that it can't stand it. It's forced out. Does it work with every negative entity? No, but it will push them back if it doesn't force them out.
Right. I actually do use a Tibetan singing bowl to clear places too.
Love them.
I do too. I have one that is literally the sound of it is to dispense negative energy everywhere.
My friend Melissa has one. I don't have one yet. She's become a pro at it, but I have not got the technique down yet.
Well, it's just one bowl. It's not like a whole set, but it's one bowl, yeah. And it does amazing things when I've taken it somewhere. Because you know what? Spirits can hide from sage, mm-hmm. smoke, from smudge smoke. They can hide from that, but mm-hmm. they can't hide from sound.
No, they cannot hide from sound or energetic vibrations. Mm-hmm. In whether it be love, white light, gold light, whatever the case may be, they cannot hide from that. They can hide from sage. They can hide from, you know, and people think, oh, you know, there's a negative entity. I'm going to go sage. Like, don't. Please don't do that. Like, you're just going to really, really make it angry. I don't know if I can use the word that I really wanted to use there, but you're going to really make it angry. Sage will not force an entity out if it is in somewhere. It is not going to do that. You are just going to make things worse. And the same with incense and now resins are stronger. They're not going to force it out, but they may anger it, but they're going to weaken it. The resins, the frankincense, the dragon's blood, the myrrh, the Arabic gum. There's several others that I use that I'm going blank. I really am a big fan of the resins over the sage. I do love sage. Don't get me wrong. I really love sage and sweet grass, but I do not use those until the time is right when I'm doing when I'm clearing a space or doing an entity removal. That comes at the very end. Because I always use that combination, because when you sage pushes the negative energy out, you know, that's left over from the entity, the residual, and sweetgrass calls positive energy back in. However, when using sweetgrass, you need to be very specific, because it basically is opening up a portal, and you have to set your intention and be specific of what you want to come in, because things that are unwanted could come in, and a lot of people don't know that about sweetgrass.
Oh, I see a question in the chat room, Clayton. Can people play vibrational music or sound daily to keep their homes clear?
Yes, I do that 24/7. There is meditation music going 24/7. I have one of the Google Home Mini speakers, which I absolutely love. I'm a big Google fan. I'm a big Android fan. I love the little Google Home speakers. I have the Mini, and I do play meditation music 24/7. I keep the energy in my house extremely high vibration and extremely peaceful all the time.
Awesome. Well, with that, we're already at half the hour. We have to take a short 2-minute break. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back to continue talking about empaths.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Hello? shining so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Good evening, paranormal lovers. My name is Ra, and I'm reporting from the subterranean lair of the Mystical Spiral Radio. If you're looking to listen to the best paranormal discussions this side of the Kuiper Belt, then tune in every Friday from 8 to 9 p.m. and awaken to the beauty of your own consciousness. That's Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Let the Para-X Radio Network upgrade your gray matter. Spiral out.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. When we are not live on the air like we are right now, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com or, hey, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. Tonight I've got a very awesome topic. We're talking about the advanced truth about empaths, and I've got Clayton Crawford on the line with me again from last week because this is part two. If you are not caught part one, make sure you go back and check it out at thejourneyradioshow.com. It'll be right there on the top one on that page. Just click it and you can listen to it at your pleasure. So you won't have to actually miss out on anything if you're just coming in on part two. So again, here we are talking about empaths, those who feel what other people feel. And it can be physical. It can be emotional. It can be positive. It can be negative. It can be anything. It can be animals, people, birds, fish, trees, plants, the land, past things that happened here. It can be all of those things. And it is all of those things at some spectrum or some level. So there's different levels of being an empath. And I'm of the kind that says, go forward, embrace it. Embrace that being an empath. And gain control of it, because until you do, you're going to feel like you're not in control and you're going to fight it every step of the way. Am I right, Clayton?
You are so right. So right.
I'm older and wiser than you are in that aspect of things anyway.
Yes.
And I spent many of my years trying to push it away. Don't want to have that. And it wasn't until I embraced it that actually I got more control of it and more and more and more. So you don't have to struggle with it alone. There are people out there that know how to gain control of it. You do not have to figure it out on your own. There are people who can help.
I agree with you 100%. For me, it's more of a struggle of surrender. I don't know how to surrender. I'm a warrior. Like, I'm a fighter. I don't know how to surrender. So for me, it's more of this surrender. Like, with some parts of being an empath, I'm fine. You know, I don't care about the physical pain. You know, I don't care I know how to ground. I know how to shield. I know how to release. You know, I don't care about the really negative energy. It doesn't affect me big time, but it's the lower vibration emotions that I don't, you know, I'm like, get away. I don't want to feel you at all. Whether they're someone else's or my own.
Now that sounds like a man right there, doesn't it? That's a typical man, and that's an honest man right there, right?
Yeah, you know, and I'm totally an oddball for a gay man, because most gay men are like all into touch with their emotions, and I'm like, get it away.
But I think you are more in touch with it than a lot of men are, though.
Yes, still. I am. You know, But it's just certain things. Like, I really, really, really do not like funerals. I really, really, really do not like karaoke, because I love music so much. And when they kill the karaoke, it's just like a terrible emotion for me. It's like, it's very draining for me. There are certain things that I just really do not like.
I totally understand that. At funerals, I have to sit far away from the people who are the saddest.
Yes.
One of my relatives who I don't know very well. One of my mom's cousins. I know her. I knew her husband. But not well enough to sob uncontrollably at his funeral. Okay? I didn't know him very well at all. But when I went to his funeral, I was sitting four rows behind his wife. And I was sobbing uncontrollably because I was too close to her.
Mm.
And I couldn't make it stop.
Yeah.
So, actually, a little bit later, two rows in front of me, or three rows in front of me, I noticed that another cousin had one of her kids there, and she lifted up her child who was sobbing in unison also. I was like, oh, look, another little empath in the family.
You know, moments like that.
Laugh, but you know, you can look around and I can point him out, empath. Because you can tell at funerals, you can really tell who's an empath. Am I right? Or have you not tried that one?
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can. I also, you know, I think usually empaths know whether they even know what an empath is. Like, they know that when they see each other, they know that there's a certain understanding there, unspoken understanding.
Yeah.
A mental telepathic communication, if you will.
But why don't you explain that a little bit more for the listeners?
I mean, and it can be done even subconsciously, and they may not completely be consciously aware of it. They might not even know that it's telepathic communication. But, you know, I really think that's more of an area that you can describe more detailedly than me. I'm not as consciously aware and connected to spirit yet. So for me, like, yes, I can do it, especially if I'm like me and Jen. I can be looking at Jen. We can be on Skype, or, you know, we can be in Messenger on Facebook, and like, we can read each other's energy. We just know, like, you know, we have that connection. But with just anyone, no, unless you just meet them and there is that connection and you just understand and you don't even really know each other. But as far as doing it with anyone, I that's not something that I can, you know, do with anyone.
Okay. So I easily connect with anyone, you know, at will. I can tap into whomever, whenever. You know, but if you didn't catch last week's show, I have a guideline and ethics about being intuitive. You know, I think it's very rude to tap into people without their permission.
I agree.
So I only tap into people if I am being asked to, or if I feel highly led that this person is, I'm supposed to help this person in some way. If I'm walking through the shopping center and I'm not trying to feel anything, and all of a sudden I overwhelmingly feel the person, you know, I know that that's a message from my spirit guide that I'm supposed to pay attention here. This person needs something from you. You know, so I always say we ask a lot of favors from our spirit guides and from angels and from all those who help us. We ask a lot of favors, and sometimes they ask us for a favor back.
Right.
And that's what those are to me. When I start sensing someone that I'm not trying to sense, just randomly walking by, and I instantly know this is what's going on with that person, and I know what it is that I can do for them to give them that little bit of extra support as I'm crossing paths with them. I don't have to take them into my life and fix them. I just give them that little bit of support. And if you think about that, if that person encountered four empaths that day who lived by that, how much support would be coming at them from strangers?
And I don't even know the word to describe that, really. You know, that people need that support, really. You know, people need that. That's what everyone needs, especially gifted people and gifted children.
Yes, they do. But, I mean, if you think about it, if you're feeling sad and all alone in the world, which I'm just going to say, the majority of the population feels that way. Okay. As an empath, I can tell you that the majority of the population is not happy. They feel alone, disconnected. They feel like nobody understands them. They don't feel like they would be accepted if people really knew who they were, so they try to hide who they are. I mean, this is the general population. It's pretty sad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that's just being an honest person who is an empath.
We live in a plastic society.
We live in a plastic
society. Modern society is very plastic.
Mm-hmm. It is. I see Audrey's in the chat room. She said, I can be in a store and someone tells me their life story because I said hello.
I wanted to cover this.
Yes. I call that confession. What do you call that?
I call that confession, but that happens with natural healers and empaths, which I believe that all natural empaths have the ability to be a healer, but not all want that ability or whatever. But yes, I am everyone's therapist.
If you feel like you have a light on your forehead, like a lighthouse saying, I can help you, come to me. I can help you. Tell me your troubles. Then you probably do have a light on your forehead that's screaming that to everybody and they're picking it up.
Dead and alive. Just being honest.
Yeah, right.
Dead and alive.
Exactly. So I'm just going to say that, you know, this happens to me all the time. People who are spending a lot of time with me in a public locations just have to get used to the fact that somebody might randomly turn to me and start confessing their deepest, darkest without me saying hello first at all. And, you know, people who spent a lot of time with me recognize what's happening and they just nicely walk away and let that person have their private moment with me. I know what that is. This person, in some level of their conscious state, has recognized that they can tell me this thing that's been bothering them and I will not judge them. As a matter of fact, I will forgive them. And in doing so, they will feel forgiven. They will recognize that it is a forgivable thing and it'll be helping them in some way, shape, or form to start believing that it is a forgivable thing. Because most people think that if they told anybody what they've really done or what they really are like, that nobody would accept them and everybody would reject them. So when they turn to a complete stranger and tell me about the crime that they committed, and then they throw their hand over their mouth and they say, oh my God, I don't know why I just told you that. And they have immense fear all over them because they have just confessed a crime to me. Now, it's not like it's a crime in progress. It happened before and, you know, nothing's going on today. You know, I just smile and I say, it's okay. It happens to me all the time. I forgive you. Right. And I give them a loving look. I shoot some energy at them right in the moment. I might even give them a little pat on the arm and I walk away. I never look shocked on purpose. But I make sure to say, it's okay. It happens to me all the time. I forgive you for that. I can forgive you for that.
I've had a few that have really shocked me and I'm like, what did you just, you know, like, If I did that, I wouldn't tell a soul that, you know, like this is something just like terrible. Yeah, I've had a few and, you know, it's not really something that I think I can discuss on air. I've had a few that have just totally shocked me and I've just been like, what? You know, I'm just like confused and I'm feeling all these emotions at just like confused and shocked and floored and you know, even a little angry, all at the same time.
Yeah. But when I hear a lot of empaths or other people that don't understand that this is a natural thing that happens, I've heard people call it, people dump on me. They dump their crap on me all the time. They puke it up all over me. I'm like, oh, no, they're not dumping. They're confessing. This is I think where Catholic confession came from.
Yeah.
I think that somebody saw that this helps people. And so they started to make it a part of their faith and they provided a safe place for people to confess. Yeah, I think that's where it came from. I can't prove it, but I feel strongly that that is where that came from, that they could see that there was a healing aspect to that. And so they made it something that, a safe place for people to go, and made it a safe place for people to talk, to feel and know that this person isn't going to talk about me. But when they don't have that, they just turn to me at Walmart. Random stranger and confess. Right?
Yes, I know that feeling.
So I see Yenta saying in the chat room, if they reach out, I will help if I can, but most people want so much more. I politely let them know that I have to go, but wish them blessings, and I don't see it as dumping. It is our chance to help them. And that's true.
Let's talk about boundaries.
Yes, let's talk about boundaries.
Healthy boundaries and being an empath, okay? You cannot save everyone. You cannot help everyone. You cannot heal everyone, period. I'm sorry, you know, if someone doesn't like that, I'm sorry, but reality is reality. We cannot heal, save, help every single soul that comes in our path that needs it, because not everybody really needs it. Not everybody really wants it. Not everybody is really ready to do the work it takes on their end to heal themselves, because that's what healers do. We create a sacred space to allow the person to heal themselves. Yes, we connect, we open the channels for the energy and the spirits and all of that, but it is up to the person to fully commit and be ready to open up to heal themselves. We cannot do that. We cannot save everyone. We cannot help everyone. We cannot heal everyone. And not everyone that says they need help or says they, or that scream, help me, or scream, you know, cry out for, not everyone is innocent, so be careful not to get yourself, you know, in a trap, because there are energy traps out there. You know, there are practitioners, and there are, you know, with ill intentions, there are spirits with ill intentions. You have to be careful. Not everyone that screams for help is innocent, you know, and you have to have boundaries even for the ones that are, because people, they will, you open that window to help for them, and especially if it's free, they'll just keep trying to take and take and take and take and take. So you have nothing left to offer, and you're completely exhausted, and you have to take a 6-month sabbatical from any and all spiritual work, because you have exhausted yourself to the point where your soul is depleted. Healthy boundaries, people. Healthy boundaries. You cannot help everyone. You cannot save everyone. You cannot heal everyone. You can only do what you can do, period. You have to know your boundaries. You have to know your limits. You have to learn them. You have to appreciate them. You have to respect them. You have to honor them. And you have to hold them.
I'm going to agree with everything that you just said, Clayton, 100%. Thumbs up. In addition to that, I'm going to say that there are people who will take and take and take and take and take, and they just want attention.
Uh-huh.
Recognize who they are and let them go.
Yes. Don't waste your time.
Let them go, because they are stealing.
Yes.
They are stealing the valuable time that you could be giving to someone who would actually use that help.
Reach it.
Right? So they're stealing that time away from somebody who would actually benefit from it and use that for their own benefit rather than just for more attention. So recognize those people quickly as you can, and set them free. Do not feel guilty. You can't help them because they don't really want help. They want attention.
Right. And set yourself free when you set them free, and do it with love. You know, just let them go. Be done with it.
Right.
Set that boundary. And, you know, if they get angry and they lash out, that's how you know that, you know, you're dealing with a narcissistic personality, you know, or worse.
You know, you always say I have so much patience, Clayton. I'm going to tell you, I do not have patience for narcissists anymore. I recognize a narcissist. I see them game playing everybody in the room, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm not playing. And I tell them I'm not playing. I tell them I'm not playing. Yeah. This does not work on me. It will backfire. Yeah, don't play with me.
I will shut that down. I can be quite aggressive and quite mean if pushed. And I am not opposed to fight if threatened, you know, or if someone comes at me in such a degree. You know, there are boundaries, and I will not be disrespected, period.
Right.
Absolutely exactly. Not.
Good job. We've got that covered. Now, with that little bit of time that we have left, we have one more section that we would plan to talk about, which was amplified, what I'm calling amplified empaths. But my definition of amplified empaths, this is a term I made up today. And it is when an empath is in a situation where your feeling and the other person's feeling matches each other. So what happens to an empath at that point in time is they feel their own feeling plus the other person's feeling. And it's not just 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 1,000,000. Because it amplifies that effect. It doesn't equal 2. It equals a whole bunch more. And then it is so intense, you don't know what to do with it. Am I right?
Absolutely. And this is a really, really good topic. Because Jen and I were actually discussing this before the show. This is a good topic because you can connect with someone on a higher level. And you amplify each other's emotions. It can be sadness, happiness, anger, grief.
Sexual attraction.
It could even be sexual attraction and desire. And it's a mutual thing. And you may be conscious. Both parties may be conscious of it. Or both parties may only be partially conscious of it. Or both parties might not be fully conscious of it at all. But it can happen nonetheless.
Yes. And I just got a private message from somebody who says, you can tell the story if you want to. So there is somebody that I know who had a really good example of this. So we were in a hot tub and other people came into the hot tub and started talking to us. And my friend just took off. And came back for a second and then just took off and didn't say I'm leaving or just like abandoned me there without a word, like ran out of the room. And I, you know, oh, you went into the sauna or something, I was assuming, because this person would never usually just leave me somewhere without a word. But later, catch up with her and she's all upset because she was feeling overwhelmingly attracted to one of these people and felt guilty about that because she's in a committed relationship and was just so upset about how she had felt. And I started laughing because I'm like, hello, empath. You know, you can look at somebody and feel like that's an attractive person. And if that person feels attracted to you, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks and it's going to be amplified so hard. You're going to feel like you can't even help yourself. It's a terrible, terrible feeling. But understanding that that's because you're an empath and that person was feeling attracted to you. And you might have just thought, hey, he's kind of cute. that's all it takes. And it's an uncomfortable thing unless you know what's happening there. Yeah. So there, I told it very quickly. And so that took somebody's feeling guilty away because once it was understood. That can happen with that. It can happen with being angry with somebody. Mm-hmm. If you're both angry, good luck. You know, good luck. So that's that. So, you know, we've talked about being an amplified empath. So if ever you're feeling like emotion so strong that you can't take it, all of a sudden start thinking about, okay, my feeling must be matching someone else here that it's being amplified like that. So I see Audrey saying in the chat room, attraction is an emotion. All emotion is felt by an empath. And that is true. That is very true. So I've had people try to use, like, advanced empaths, try to use that against me. And here's the other thing. You may be, it's kind of like a Jedi mind trick. Uh-huh. Anybody who watches Star Wars, if you haven't seen Star Wars, people, get on it.
Those tricks don't work on other Jedis.
Jedi mind tricks don't work on other Jedis, people.
No.
Maybe you can get a lower level Jedi, right. But not a Jedi Master, honey. It's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, if they kind of wanted to feel that way anyway, you might be able to sway them with it. It's almost like a subliminal message to them at that point. Like if you really didn't want to do laundry today and you said, oh, but we could go do this instead. Well, you know, that's that person just wanting an excuse not to go do laundry anyway. I'm not going to say that didn't happen today.
Oh, I hate laundry.
Because it did. So I see Nina is saying, yes, sometimes it's hard to decipher when it's your own feelings, but I've learned if it feels out of place, most likely it is someone else's. And that is absolutely true.
Well said.
Always ask yourself, does this make sense for me right now? And ladies, when you're out shopping for mascara, hold that mascara to your chest and ask, will I like this mascara? And you will feel the response. And you can use that and ask your higher self, will I like this mascara? Hey, that's a good way to use it too. I'm just saying. It's fun to be an empath when you know how to use it and you let it yourself develop that. I want to thank Clayton for coming on the show tonight. You can find him on Facebook at Clayton Crawford. Or at the Legion of Light on Facebook. You can find me, I'm Jen Cruz, at thejourneyradioshow.com, where you can find part one of this show. Go find it now and listen to it so you can catch up. And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. Tune in next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
Bye, Sarge.